God has only one gift. As a Christian, you have to understand that God has only one gift. He has only one gift that He gives. Only one. But all the other gifts that you may have heard of, all the other wonderful things that you may have read of, all of them are products of that one gift that God gives. God also have only one blessing, and it's called the blessing. But all the other blessings of God, all the very blessings of God, are a product of that one blessing. And that one blessing, that one gift, is what is called eternal life. So the question is, what is eternal life? Why is it important for you to know about eternal life? Because that's what Jesus brought. That's what the gospel is about. That's what Christianity is about. Christianity and the gospel is that God gave man, or has given man, eternal life. That's what the gospel is about. So if you want to, if someone asks what is the gospel, in simple terms, the gospel is that God gave man, or has given man, eternal life. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is God has given man eternal life. That's all what the gospel of the Lord Jesus is. That's why He Himself, the Lord, said, "The thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that in abundance." That's all what the gospel is about. That Jesus came, God came, to give man eternal life. So, how much you are going to benefit from the gospel of the Lord Jesus will be dependent on your understanding of eternal life. Not the pastor's understanding of eternal life. Not something you read in the book about eternal life. But what eternal life is in accordance to Scripture. Because that is what Christianity is. Christianity is that you have received eternal life. So please, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. When you read Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul the Apostle says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Not a gift of God, the gift. A definite article. "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." Now, it's important, when the Bible says death, Christians understand what death is. It's very important, because also there is a limited understanding of what death is in the body of Christ. Because many, when you say death, their understanding is seeing a body, and that body is not animated, is not living, it's just lying down. Please, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you something. Now, after Adam sinned, Adam and Eve, after they sinned, God says something that many women are not conscious of, many Christians are not conscious of. God said that even though Adam and Eve, they have sinned, even though they have sinned, you know, God said in the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. I said, in dying, you will die. But after they ate, God said that if after they have ate and then they were corrupted, now they have ate, they have sinned, so they were corrupted, they were in corruption. What I'm saying is very important. You pay attention to what I'm going to say and everything I will say in this teaching. He said, after they had eaten of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then they are in corruption, they were naked, and they have lost the glory, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God said, if they went on, because in that garden, there were many trees. There were the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but also there was the tree of life. And God said, in their corrupted state, if they have eaten of the tree of life, they will never die. So let's read Genesis chapter 3, from verse 22. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Please, next verse. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So God said that even in their corrupted state, if they had eaten of the tree of life, their bodies, their physical body will never die. Will never die. So how then would they have been? They will be like demons, because they will be corrupted. You will see a being which is corrupted but yet cannot die. So they will be in eternal death. And actually, that is the same thing that will happen to sinners in the resurrection of the dead, when they are resurrected with a body, but they will be cast into the flame, lake of fire, which burn with brimstone eternally. So if they have eaten of the tree of life, they will have, it has resulted in eternal death. So that will tell you what death is. Death is not just separation of the spirit from the body. Because if they have eaten of the tree of life and their body will not die, still they will be in eternal death. That is why in the resurrection of the dead, the second resurrection, which will be the resurrection of the sinners, They will still get the resurrected body, but they'll be cast into the lake of fire, and they will suffer forever and ever. So death is not just a separation of the spirit and the body. Death is about suffering. Death is about corruption. Death is about disorderliness. That's why sickness is death, because sickness is disorderliness. So now that you are a Christian, you have received, and that's why Jesus says something, and then the church for years find it hard to understand what Jesus said. Please let's look at John chapter 11 from John chapter 11 verse 25. John chapter 11. Because the church have not fully understood what death is. They think death is just about immortality and immortality. There is a corrupted immortality, and there is an incorruptible immortality. Like what I explained before in Genesis chapter 3, would have been a corrupted immortality, an immortality yet with corruption. You see, so death doesn't necessarily means immortality. Not necessarily. Because you can have an immortality which is still corrupted, and so you are in death. And actually, that is what is the destiny of those who don't receive Jesus. They will have at the end a corrupted immortality. That is an immortality yet with suffering. So when the Bible talks about death, don't just think about immortality. You see, don't just think about that. He's talking about suffering. Anything that brings sorrow to you, anything that brings pain to you, is death. That's what he's talking about. And that is why sometimes you tell Christians that the Christian doesn't die. They find it hard understanding. The Christian doesn't die or is not supposed to die. The Christian is not subject to death. So then your question will be, but Paul died, Peter died. You see, because the understanding is carnal. It's like when Jesus was speaking to these Jews in John chapter 6 and said, unless a man eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he will not have life. They were thinking carnally. He says, is this man a vampire? Or he wants us also to be vampires. So they were thinking carnally. But you have to understand spiritual communication of God's word to understand what really eternal life is about. When you receive eternal life, you are not subject, or you are not supposed to be subject to death. Meaning that when you become a, if you understand Christianity in its truth, a Christian should never go by sickness. Because sickness is suffering. A Christian can go naturally after he has finished his work, sleeps, and then goes. Because the body is nothing. The body is just clay. It's a house. So the true man can just leave the house and go. And the only reason why he will leave the body is because this body is corruption, right? It's a mortal body, cannot inherit the kingdom. That's why he cannot go with the body. The Christian has to go naturally. Or he goes as a martyr, like Paul and Peter. That's the true way for a Christian to go. Going out of sickness and all those things is not part of the life of the Christian anymore. So when Jesus said to her, the sister of Lazarus, please let's read that from the verse 24. So Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Because Jesus said he was going to raise Lazarus up. He says, but I know, because he was thinking futuristic, I know at the resurrection, my brother will come up from the grave. Then as Jesus said unto him, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. Says he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Please, next verse. Then look at what the master said. He said something very big. They said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he says, believest thou this? The question is, can you believe? You see, can you believe? That has been the problem of Christians over the years. Because it's very hard for the one who is carnally minded to receive this. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Now, what is in discussion here is physical death. God, Lazarus is dead. He's in the grave. So he's talking about someone who is physically dead. He's not talking about spiritual death. Or he's talking about physical death. And then he says that, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, I am the resurrection and the life. It says, he that believeth in me, even though he was dead, yes, shall he live. And he that liveth, he that liveth, whoso liveth and believeth in me, whoso liveth. Jesus said it, whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he says, believers, thou this. So when you believe in Jesus, death ends. The day a Christian believes in Jesus, that is the end of death. Let it sink in. The day a Christian, the day you get born again,
who are afraid of witchcraft,
you receive eternal life. That is the end of death.
How they respond to situations
as a Christian,
their conversation,
you are not supposed to die.
Attest to a fear.
You only lay down your life.
For many, the problem really
when
is that
Jesus was living,
they quote the scripture
on
later
earth,
you see that is in
the master
that
was walking in his
the
days.
They are not the fully persuaded gospel by the abiding presence of God in them. It has just become
the Lord was the only person who had eternal life.
The reason
no
why
one on this whole earth had eternal life. No one.
Every human has a purpose in life. Find
the
that
only person to have ever had eternal life is Jesus.
Man can only start living out his divine
since the creation of this
when
world.
He comes into Christ.
The only person
the
to have had eternal life
is different for every human.
Is Jesus.
What should
so
matter?
You are not going to understand eternal life from
your
a doctor or professor
fulfilling it
in a university.
This is the true meaning.
You cannot understand eternal life in the lab.
When it comes to God, they have to
you cannot understand eternal life by reading the books of this world.
There have to be a response.
You only
right
can
response
understand eternal life.
The Lord, there have to be a response and the right
by
response.
By studying
they said
the life of
a
Jesus.
Good Christian.
Because the only person who has ever had this life is Jesus.
It's not about being a good
You cannot understand eternal life by reading about Elisha or Elijah. Elisha and Elijah never had eternal life. They are not
saying about you in that situation.
So that's the problem
when a man finds Jesus,
the church, and some of the pastors around the world in the church.
Jesus is the
because we find some of them, they want to be like Elijah.
That sure is everything you need.
Teach about the mantle of Elijah.
How can you
teach about? Because they have not understood the gospel in fullness. They have not understood what the gospel in fullness is about.
And this is what they want to be like. There are people and even Christians.
How do you want to be?
If I was like the days of Adam, I would have partook
was in his days in
the tree of the knowledge of good
and evil. He was a living soul.
But the truth really is that
Elijah was a living soul who had a relationship with God.
The knowledge of good evil and evil.
John the Baptist was a living soul who had a relationship with God. Abraham was a living in his days was a living soul.
People
who had a relationship with God.
Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Moses was a living soul who had a relationship with God.
You can be even better.
So why then do you want to be like
that? There should be such manifestations in
It's
your
because
life.
Of this that Jesus
it
said.
It by living with that consciousness.
All those
God is looking for men and women who position themselves for such manifestations.
So is the greatest is John the Baptist. But even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. For John the Baptist never had eternal life. The first person to have had eternal life is Jesus. Is Jesus. So the one who you look at, who is like you as a Christian, is Jesus. That is why Paul in his epistle says, copy me as I copy Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, if you didn't have the same life and nature of Jesus, Paul cannot ask that of you. You cannot ask a cat to bark. Why? Because a cat doesn't have the life of a dog, the nature of a dog. So a cat cannot bark.
Yeah.
The reason why he says imitate Christ, copy Christ, is because now that you are a Christian, you have received the life and nature of God, the life and nature of Jesus. So since you have received his life and nature, you have the potential to do everything that he did. That's why that can be asked of you. Please let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. So Christianity is the unveiling of eternal life. But when you get to understand in its fullness what eternal life is, as a Christian, always you shout for joy. You always be happy. Always happy. Nothing can move you. Nothing can move you. Nothing can move you. Why? Because you will know that no matter the problem, you have the solution already. If you are to understand what eternal life really is. Say that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. It says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and which was manifested unto us. So he says that, you have to understand what the man is saying here. He didn't say that Jesus had eternal life. He says Jesus is eternal life. He didn't say Jesus had eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. So when you saw Jesus walking in Galilee, this was eternal life encapsulated in a body. Jesus was eternal life encapsulated in a body. Jesus was eternal life clothed with a body. That's why the Lord himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says that I am eternal life. He is eternal life. Jesus didn't have eternal life. He is eternal life. Because eternal life, what is eternal life? Is that life which has always been and will always be. What does that mean? It's a life that has no beginning. Eternal life is a life that has no beginning and has no end. That's the definition of eternal life, a life that has no beginning and has no end. And since eternal life is a life that has no beginning, it means eternal life can only be one thing, can only be God. And that's why Jesus said, I am eternal life. But eternal life is a life that has no beginning. It has no beginning. It has no end. So once you understand what eternal life really is, a life which has no beginning, has no end, a life which cannot be destroyed, a life which has no beginning. The moment you understand what eternal life really is, that is a life which has no beginning, it should tell you that eternal life can only be God. So God is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. Because eternal life is a life that has no beginning. So it cannot be given birth to, like in that sense, because it has no beginning. That is the meaning of eternal life. Eternal life is not an ethical life. It's an existential life, a life in essence, a real life, a genuine real life that exists. Most of the Church of Jesus Christ, they think eternal life in an ethical sense. Oh, I have eternal life, therefore I'll not go to hell. That's all what they understand about eternal life, the ethical aspect of eternal life. But eternal life is more than ethical, it's essential. It's existing. It's a life in essence. It's a real life, a life of substance. It's a life that can be imparted. That is eternal life. It's not a life in just in an ethical sense. It's more than that. But eternal life, like I said, is a life that has no beginning. Therefore, that life can only be Jesus. It can be God. So Jesus said, I am eternal life. John said, the life was manifested. That is why Jesus is God. And that's why John understood that Jesus is God. You know, some of the churches, traditional churches, they think Jesus, because they don't have an understanding of the meaning of the Son of God. So they think that Jesus is not God. Jesus is God the Father. Jesus is God. That is why I asked them this question. I said, you say Jesus is not God the Father. Why then, every Christmas, you quote Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Why don't you refer to him as the Everlasting Son? See, but the prophet didn't say his name shall be called the Everlasting Son. He said, his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Because when you understand what eternal life is, and you understand that it's a life which has no beginning, then eternal life can only be God. And God is eternal life, and eternal life is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal life.